Hi, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and life and everything in between, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. It's true. Life's a creative act. It's all the same stuff. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. Find Author Magazine at authormagazine.org. And we're funded by the wonderful Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. If you're in the Northwest, PNWA offers great classes over the fall. I encourage you to join the PNWA. You get a discounted rate, but you can actually take one of the classes even if you aren't a member and you live in the Northwest. I will actually be teaching two classes there. I'll be teaching a 5-week memoir class. I do love teaching memoir. It's such an awesome experience, helping people tell the story of their life. So I'll be teaching a memoir class, and as if you're familiar with the show, I will be teaching a one-day fearless writing class. Yes, I will. Those are in October. So if you're interested in my classes, plus there'll be other writing classes they're offering, and again, you live here in the Northwest, definitely head on over to pnwa.org and see all that they're offering. It's just great. Well, today we have a special guest with us. Today we have the wonderful and multi-talented Helene Cardona, a friend of the show. She was on a few years ago, but Helene's a wonderful poet. She is an actress. Well, she's many things. She's a musician. She's been a dancer. She is a translator. She's the recipient of numerous awards. I could just go on and on and on about her, but you know what would be better, ladies and gentlemen? What if I just bring her on and just start talking to her? That's just what I want to do. So that's what I'm going to do. Helene, how are you doing?
Hi, Bill. Beautiful. Thank you. It's so nice to speak with you.
Now, first of all, I was talking to my good friend Jeffrey before I had you on, and it is Helene, not Helen, but Helene.
Oh, it's actually Helene.
Oh, for God's sakes. Helene, but not Helen, Helene. The accent is on the last syllable.
It's on the second syllable. You know, really,
Helene.
My name
is
it's French. I have three citizenships. So
yeah.
In French, it's Helene. In Spanish, it's Elena. And I've kept the French spelling here. I'm
right.
An American now.
Helene.
Helene or Helena, yes.
Helene or Helena, but not Helen.
Helen is fine, too.
The only one I don't like
is Helene.
Oh, for God's sake. I'm going to get it right. Helene.
For God's sake.
You know, Helene, having said that, I was thinking about this. Whenever I think of you, which I do from time, I see your face on Facebook. I see some of your posts. I always think of sunshine and oceans and starfish and mountains, just light and happiness. But the truth is, you had to kind of go through a certain dark period to get to the work you're doing now, didn't you?
For sure.
Wasn't
and
always
that,
so nice.
Yes. It's really I find that the people who have had to, you know, surmount tremendous obstacles, or who've gone through challenges, you know, traumatic situations, and who've come out of it, really, we are the ones, and I think, enjoying life to the fullest because we know the value of it, and having had, you know, having almost had to lose it, you know, when you've been that close to losing that, you just are so appreciative for every single gift and so grateful for it. So, yes, I think it's very important to uplift people. There's a lot of, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of drama, tragedies. It's part of life. But if you can uplift a life, if you can uplift people, if you can, you know, shine a light, I think that's a tremendous gift to give. And it's part of this journey, right?
I think so. And you see yourself, it's interesting you use that word uplift. I have a favorite teacher who uses that word, and I thought, that's just it. Personally, that is my goal to be, and that's exactly the word I think of, an uplifter. That's true, because I know what it is to be low. I know what it is to be in the darkness, and I know the difference between that and the lightness that that life can provide you, and I would like to be that myself. And so, and there's nothing like experience, is there?
There's no shortcut.
Teach
you
us.
You have to experience it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To really let you know the value of both those things. And you touch on it quite a bit in your books. I was thinking of this. I have this pile of books with your name either on them or in them. and I'm going to start with, and for those of you listening to the show, you can see the various covers flashing across the screen. But let's start with your poetry collection. When did this come out? When did Life in Suspension come out? Was that just
out just now. Yeah, it's brand
oh,
brand
congratulations.
New. It literally just came out. And the previous one was Dreaming My Animal Selves.
Yes,
which I think we may have talked
that's
about.
That's the last time I talked
ago.
To you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the last time
so
I talked
So that came
to
out,
you.
Yeah, 3 years ago. This one is just brand new, Life in Suspension, and it's also a bilingual collection written in English and in
mm-hmm.
French. And it's really, it also has this spiritual dimension in the sense that...
Oh, very much.
You know, this connection to life, you know, this deep love of life and it's really about, you know, sharing how I've transcended, you know, the moments that were, you know, the very dark times in my life where I either almost lost my own life or where I lost, you know, others, like my mother's death was very hard. Through the different stages of life, basically, right?
Well, you know what I was thinking about with this is you began one of the, like the second poem, not the first, but the first to Kitty, who loved the sea in Somerset Maugham, and it's a reflection on death, at what it is and what it maybe isn't, and then
right.
You end that way also with. Or you almost end with your funeral, a beautiful little poem about your theoretical funeral. And so you kind of begin and end there. And I thought it was perfect in a way because because I feel like the way you live, what you think death is or isn't, so defines how you live your life, whether you like it or not. That's been my experience.
Yes, for sure. And you know what happens is when you're very young, you really don't you don't think much in terms of like you certainly don't fear it, you know. And that's why every generation, young people are sent to wars to fight wars, right? Because when you're very young, you think you're invincible. You have you have unbounded energy and. It's very easy to take advantage of our youth, right? So, but at the same time, the teenage years I find are also difficult years because because I think these are when the process of individuation starts and you challenge the world around you. What you've been told, and for me, you know, these were very dark years. So at the time, I was very pragmatic, being raised the French way, you know, with a very Cartesian mind, you know, math major, and living in a world where there wasn't a lot of spirituality, and it was almost my undoing, you know, and so finding myself. And connecting to something bigger came together, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
So,
And because I always think of the teenage years, You know, so, you write poetry, but obviously you're in the world of writing. You know how we show each other work and say, what do you think of that? And we sort of critique the work. You know, you've been, maybe you're writing a, I don't know if you've ever written fiction, but if you're writing a story of any kind, you get very caught up in it. It's sometimes hard to tell the forest from the trees. So you show it to somebody else. They say, well, maybe blah, blah, blah. So it's good to get fresh eyes. I sometimes think, I don't sometimes, I've come to understand that young people are the fresh eyes on the story of life, that the story of life is being told by the adults, and we've been telling it and telling it and telling it. Then the teenagers or the young people come along, and they're new to the story, and they're like, hey, you know, this aspect of it I think is BS, and couldn't we do it differently? But we're so used to telling it, or the adults can get so used to telling it, they need those fresh eyes, and being a teenager, but your voice isn't yet matured enough at that point to really say – and to speak in a way that can be heard. And maybe your parents don't want to hear you. Maybe your parents want you to be a mathematician or a scientist.
Yeah, I mean, that was my case. I know of other people who did have a stronger voice younger. And, you know, good for them because I didn't.
Something else that struck me about this is the title, the poem, the titular poem, Life in Suspension, the poetry collection is called Life in Suspension. And the main poem, I loved the poem. I really did. I loved the main poem, the title poem. And what I found most interesting is I write now mostly what would loosely be called in the general realm memoir-ish. Sometimes it gets into like mind, body, spirit stuff. But it's generally memoir. But I always felt, and I could never put my finger on it, that my understanding of what we call memoir began when I wrote poetry, which is really was my entree into how to write, really. It was writing when I wrote poetry as a young man. And that poetry always felt like a kind of reduced memoir. And to some degree, maybe you can talk about the poem Life in Suspension, it almost is like a little mini poetic memoir of your childhood.
Yes, absolutely.
And it's a beautiful little memoir, I have to say.
Thank you.
So mate, would you be willing to talk about that poem a little bit? And
yes, interestingly enough.
I don't know what I want you to say, but say something about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you that how that poem came to me. I was in Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is a place I've been going to for years, almost the whole time I've been in the U.S. You know, I visited there when I lived in New York. One of my acting coaches at the Actors Studio was doing a workshop there, and I fell in love with it. And then discovered Taos, which my mother loved completely as well. And at the time, the guy who Saki, who was running the Fonda, the hotel, the Fonda de Taos, was Greek, and so they bonded as well, you know. Yes, that was her last visit to the U.S. And even after I moved to L.A. and now I've been living in Santa Monica, I keep going, you know. I keep going back all the time, so it's like 20 years going to, you know, to Santa Fe, and I know a wonderful healer she's impossible to describe because what she does is so unique. Mm-hmm. But it started with craniosacral therapy, and you know, being a masseuse type of work, but it just delves much more deeply. And and I did go see her, you know, after my mom died. It was very healing. And after one of my sessions with her, walking back to where I was staying, the line started coming to me, you know, I just don't know, you know, where they came from, but I just started having this little map of this poem story, you know, and certain years stood out, you know, and I started from actually a memory being in my mother's womb, and I stopped with when I first came to the U.S. at 16,
Isn't that the best way for things to start, where you just are walking along or taking a shower or doing the dishes and things start, because it's so true when it comes to, there's no sense, I don't know if you go through this, but for me it's always like, am I forcing this or is this authentic? But when it just comes to you like that, for me there's no question in it.
There's an openness and you're receptive. Yeah. It's a wonderful gift.
Well, the receptivity, I'll tell you, that I think is, I didn't understand it until I started sort of teaching it and really thinking about it. But the willingness to that the willingness to understand your role in the creative process, and that it's really you are much more of a receiver than a builder, you know. That
absolutely, you're a receiver, and yet you also court it, right? In a way,
yeah.
Yes. you hunt for it, and then you have to be able to receive it. It's an interesting process, isn't it?
It is. I think of it like my job is to ask the questions. So I ask a question.
Right.
And then I get an answer, and if I don't like, and I say, well, I may have to change my question, and though I ask a different question, and so I keep asking questions. And I think what happened with what I think happens with what you describe of, you know, your mom passes away, you go to see this woman who's a healer, and you have a good session, and you're leaving. I think that sometimes we are asking questions without understanding that we're asking them. And that we have such resistance to the answer because it may not be what we're ready for, and then something drops, and boom,
you know,
the answers start coming
so
in.
You are so right. It's because I do dream work as well, and it's so true that sometimes the question that you don't want to answer because it's loaded, you know, and there's a resistance, is really the one that's going to open up, you know, that's going to bring the answers that you need to hear, as opposed to what you want to hear.
Yeah, I think that everything I'm writing is an attempt to see something, some aspect of my life, some relationship, or something I see in the world through the eyes of love, and that I haven't. That I'm seeing it in judgment. I'm seeing it in saying this shouldn't be. I'm seeing it as in a state of resistance as opposed to acceptance, and that everything I'm writing is how can I see this and from a state of love, which is always for me a state of acceptance, because love always says what is and it's okay. And I can't always do it, you know, like your mom dying, for instance. It would be very easy to think this shouldn't be, you
We're
know,
human.
I want her
yeah.
to still be walking the planet.
Right.
But she's not.
But you know, yeah. So see that her death came with a gift, you know, and it's just how life works, and I don't have the choice to trade. I don't have, you know, I'm not given, you know, it's not up to me to say, well, this is how I want it to be or would like it to be, but this is how it happened, and yet it was a tremendous gift because I started writing, you know, when I was 10, and I kept writing all along, but then I you know, the focus shifted, and then I went to train, and, you know, as an actor, and I was still writing a little bit on the side, but it definitely was not something I was focused on. And so when she died, there was a lot that wanted to come out, you know, I have so many notebooks with notes, you know, and and so this. All my books are dedicated to her, you know, because it wouldn't have happened in a way in like this without this tremendous loss
the more intuitive and spiritual of your two parents?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Do you know what's funny about that?
It's
funny about that. So your dad was the one who was like, go into science, use your brain. But you know what's interesting about that? And so is that in a way, so your mom was of great support to you in terms of both your spiritual evolution and your artistic evolution. But to some degree, your dad was the one who really taught you that you wanted to be an artist by saying, don't be an artist.
Well,
you know, he's the one,
you know,
by saying to you, don't do this, he's the one who made you decide for yourself.
Well, I had to see, this is exactly the other, absolutely you hit on, and this is the other gift, and this is why you can never resent those things, you know, because it did make my life harder at first.
Yeah.
But since I didn't know how and what to choose early on, you know, we have a system that forces us to specialize in France, you know, at 14.
Yeah.
Specialize
what
high school you go to. No, at 14, you know, you specialize. So at 14,
just like when everybody knows what they want to do with their life, right?
No, but I mean, some people do. You know, there are a few people who know right away, especially, you know, I mean, it depends what professions, but there are actors who know, you know, some their children.
Right.
Sometimes it's their parents too, projecting that onto them, and that's another issue. But That's right. With every profession. And my mother also wanted me to be a doctor. Her father was a doctor. He was a dermatologist.
Ah, okay.
So both parents really wanted me to go into medical school. It wasn't just him. But you hit it right on the nose. It's my process of individuation hadn't happened, I really didn't know who I was. And because of my nature, I also wanted to please my parents, you know, and my teachers. My brother wasn't like that at all. Same parents, you know, same set of circumstances. But he was very stubborn about what he wanted to do and didn't want to do. And he wasn't a workaholic either. He didn't want to work harder than he had to, whereas I didn't mind. So I fit in right into that mold about, you know, going to a scientific, you know, minded high school, and then at 17, where, you know, I'm still not sure, I'm thinking I can do it all, going into med school and realizing you can't do it all, and having a breakdown 2 years later. So that's the gift. Like you said, my father gave me a gift because it's true. It's that path. And my mother, it also took a while for her to differentiate herself from her husband, you know, from my father.
Yeah,
And to support me. It didn't happen right away. I had no support for a long time from either, you know, like in terms of I was on my own. But then my mother had her own crisis, and then she, you know, and then she really supported me becoming an artist, you know, an actor. And that's why the loss was tremendous, you know, when she left.
You know, this, like I said, there's three books. I hope we get to them all. But I want to talk briefly about Wren Women.
Yes.
Wren Women, which is a book about essentially, well, Wren Women stands for Renaissance. So Renaissance women, women who are successful and living varied and really interesting, unusual lives. And so they profile the authors of this book, Dale Griffith Stamos and W. Scott Griffiths, profile a bunch of women, including you, Helene. You're one of the first they profile, as a matter of fact.
Well, that's alphabetical order, so let's
Is that all it is? Oh, rat. Well, anyway, there you are at the beginning. And so it's interesting, and they paint a very lovely picture of you, accurate, I'm sure. And as I was reading it, I thought, what came to mind is, and I want to get your take on this, is the question of, because this is steeped in, whether they mean it to or not, the question of what is success and how do you define it? Because they're talking a lot about women who are very successful externally, you know, for the most part.
Renaissance women is really women who do more than one thing and more than two things, which is something that, in a way, is not the norm in our society. We're all outliers in this book. It's not about just focusing single-mindedly on one thing, not that there's anything wrong with that. Everybody's different, and we each have our own path, and for some people that's great, absolutely, and it's the only way to go about it. But the group of women that Dale Griffith Stamos interviewed for this book, we all have several passions, you know, that we pursue and that we excel at, basically. But they're all connected to, you say it's external, but it's not only external, it's all connected to inner life and to having had to overcome difficulties. Everybody has, and everybody tells, you know, in their stories, you know, what, you know, how they did it.
I guess I was saying it is easy to get fixated on the external.
Oh, right.
Because that's
and
what
society.
We see.
Yes. Yes,
right?
Yes.
It's just so easy to say, well, oh, she's lovely and she's done this and that, all of which is true. And as you know, everything in your life that you're between from your husband, I know you have a great relationship with John, and your work has grown out of something, is really the flowers on the tree of your life, really, as opposed to the whole of it.
Oh, yes,
that makes
and the
sense?
Support. Yes, absolutely. And talking about support, John, meeting John was a major turning point in my life because, again, you know, yes, apart from my mother, I mean, he supported me in a way. I mean, it's it's when you can use a word like magical. You know, this was
mm-hmm.
just a magical encounter. It's like we're mirror images of each other, and we both support each other and love each other, and we have similar histories. Like he lost his father when he was very young. And so we understand that, you know, loss and having to pursue an artistic field, you know, in a world that it's a challenge, basically, you know. And so, yeah, the books are also dedicated to him.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, for sure.
It's interesting, too, because your two of your passions that we're talking the most about, one is acting, which we haven't talked about, but one is acting, and you're in Hollywood. I mean, you're not just acting. Your acting isn't just, you know, off-Broadway theater, but you're in Hollywood, which is really big, noisy, loud, broad, high concept Hollywood. And then your other passion is poetry. And in certain ways, I couldn't think of two artistic pursuits that seemed further apart, unless you were doing, I don't know, sculptures out of sea driftwood or something.
in terms of the
publicness compared to the two. Does that make sense?
Sure. And you know, and again, it's so interesting that when you point out to point to the perception, you know, as opposed to the real life. First, I was always a poet, and then, mm-hmm. you know, I'm an actor. And so I first moved to New York to train, you know, as an actor. I got
mm-hmm.
out, I left France and Europe, and I wanted to train the American way. And then I thought I'd come back, but I liked it so much, I stayed. And I wasn't planning on coming to Los Angeles at all, or Hollywood. You know, I loved New York. I thought it was my home. I felt it was my home. And I trained. I graduated from the Academy, the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. It's a two-year program. And then I studied with
mm-hmm.
coaches, you know, at the Actors Studio, and did theater and started doing, you know, voiceovers, voice work and TV and film. And my mother, when my mother died, I had to move. It was irrational, you know. I just, even though she was in Paris, I had to get out of New York. I completely, it was very strange. I hadn't really wanted to move to Los Angeles, but I came to Santa Monica, which is by the ocean, and which is very healing, you know. It's a very beautiful place. And I stayed. And so, of course, you know, there's more film work here as well. And this is how it happened. There's always something organic about the process, you know, like you think, oh, yeah, she's in L.A. or Hollywood and she's a poet. And at first, you know, when I had on my resume that I had a master's in American literature, I had agents tell me to take it out, you know, to take it off, to know that, you know, not to intimidate people and things like that. And so finally, I think, you know, it's becoming a bit more integrated where, yes, you're a whole, you're all of it, you know, you're a poet and an actor and you're a linguist and, you know, I use my languages. Everything feeds everything, basically, you know, and I translate, you know. The other book I have coming out this year is Beyond Elsewhere by Gabriel Arnoux-Lojac. Very spiritual book, you know, about...
Very unusual book.
Very unusual. First love,
very cool.
You know.
Yeah.
In India, yes. So they all the different lives, you know, intersect. All the different aspects feed one another, I feel, you know.
Well, ideally, you allow them to. Because I think if we get out of the way, if we can get out of the way and not try and force something, that whole life, all the pieces all fit together absolutely naturally. But we have to... Like I said, get out of the way. Stop trying to make it something and let it be what it wants to be. It'll be probably more than you could have imagined, you know.
That's so true. You know, and there's nothing like being than letting life surprise you in that sense, you know. Yeah.
And isn't that what writing is like? You know, ideally you're surprised, right? Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm surprised, I know. You know, like I write these little essays, but I always have kind of my idea of what I'm going to write about, kind of a basic idea, a lot of times, not always, but often. And then I would say, but leave room, Bill, leave room for what you don't know yet. because that'll come too. No matter how many times you've taught this subject or talked to people about this thing, leave room. Even when I'm giving live talks, I say, leave in my mind, leave room for what you don't know yet. It'll come, and that'll be the good stuff, you know.
Right.
Well, Helen, Helen.
No, that's fine. That's fine. That was perfectly fine.
Helena, it's been fabulous talking to you, as always.
Oh, thank you.
It's a delight.
It goes by so quickly. Yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign. And so I hope you, are you going to go and are you going to give a few readings? I hope you will.
Of course I will. Yes, I will.
Good.
Thank
will
you.
Will you give them all in the California area, or will you venture
out
a little bit?
Oh, no. I do travel, and I'm looking forward to traveling to different cities for readings.
And if people want to experience, you know, I should say, poetry readings, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. But I'm betting, being an actress, you can bring those things to life. I bet you can. I bet you can. Not all of them can, but I bet you could. So
you
if
know,
someone
the
wants
arts,
to experience
yes.
the
yes,
pleasure.
Yes, because the arts. Yeah, the arts are about healing, you know, and whether it's poetry or film or theater, you know, this is what we do. And so it is a healing experience. And the way to contact me, yes, is through my website.
And all your events are listed there. If they want to, I've got to see her. They can find out where you are.
I'm in the process of. I have someone wonderful who's redone my website for me. We're putting the final touches on it, and I do have a mailing list. So the way is to get on the mailing list, and also I'll be announcing, of course,
Of course. Well, I'm sure those will be awesome events. Let me know if you're going to come to Seattle. I could probably pop by and soak in a little poetry. I do love it.
That'd
if you
be
make
great,
it up here,
Bill.
It's a good literary town, Seattle is.
It is. Absolutely.
Oh,
yes.
It is. It's no joke.
No joke.
All right. I'm going to let you go. Helen, thank you so much. Again, the book is Life in Suspension. And is Wren Women out also?
Yes. Life in Suspension is from Salmon Poetry. And Wren Women just came out as well. You can find it on Amazon.
Yeah.
Or on renwomen.com, I think it is. So, but definitely on Amazon. And both books are on Amazon. Life in Suspension is, and also Beyond Elsewhere. They're all on Amazon or directly from the publishers. Sorry?
Is Beyond Elsewhere out yet?
Yes, it's just out as well. And that's White Pine Press. So directly from the publishers or Amazon, definitely.
All right. Have an excellent reading. Thank you, as always.
Thank you so much, Bill. Thank you so very much. Great pleasure.
Oh, you're welcome. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. See, people, let it be organic. Let it be organic. Life has got such plans for you, just like it's got plans for your books. Just let it happen. Every time I do that, things go swimmingly. Next week, I will be doing another masterclass in fearless writing. So if you've got questions, post them on Facebook, post them on Twitter. Send them to me at bill@authormagazine.org. Be back for another masterclass. And then, till then, just let life happen and do what you love. Nothing's easier.